Hello there, Main Menu listeners. My name is Igor Geets. I am presenting to you here from Ashland, Massachusetts. I am here to review an application called TNT. Now, TNT is an AIM AOL Instant Messenger client. Its functionality is very similar to the Windows client, except that it runs under Linux. And you may remember all the reviews that Matt Campbell did about Linux approximately a year and a half to 2 years ago. I'll have to look back in the archive for the respective dates. However, yes, TNT does run under Linux, and another thing that makes it different from another client called Tick, which I believe you can download from AOL.com, is that TNT was written using the Lisp programming language as opposed to a language such as C, which is a compiled language versus Lisp, which is interpreted. Now, here's where the text editor called Emacs comes into play. Emacs is one of the only Lisp interpreters out there, so basically TNT does run inside of Emacs. And the way Emacs works in general is it has a system of buffers, as it calls them. And in Windows, you can consider a buffer as basically a window, or I'm not sure how you'd represent. You could probably represent an Emacs buffer under Windows as a taskbar icon. I don't see why I'd want to do that, but basically that's the analogy of how it works. And TNT essentially runs inside one of these buffers without basically requiring you to open up a new TTY for running TNT. So, you can basically be typing a letter to somebody in one buffer, and you can have TNT and all your IM conversations running in completely separate buffers. You don't have to have separate TTYs for everything, because the default configuration allows for maximum of 6 TTYs or virtual consoles to be enabled at one time. Although there is a /dev/TTY12, I'm not sure exactly why the default is 6, and I still haven't figured out how to change that. Although I am playing with that once in a while. So first, before we get started, let me tell you about what I run here, just so you get an idea. I'm running kernel 2.4.18 with Debian 3.0R0, and that is considered to be the latest stable version available from the various Debian FTP mirror sites. Although I don't consider it to be stable, because I had a lot of problems installing it from my upgrade of Potato or Debian 2.2. However, I think I might have done something that may have caused all the errors that I had. And my problem ended up being that installed many new packages that I hadn't installed previously, and I realized that I kind of messed that one up pretty badly, and I have since fixed that. So anyway, here I'm at a shell prompt, and you have to bear with me here. My microphone here, it might not pick up my DeckTalk Express very well, because I'll be using it to read and or demonstrate the output of different commands. So, yes, that is what I'm doing. So, if you do hear the sound of the synthesizer coming in and out, that's just me putting the microphone closer to the synthesizer and then bring it away so I can talk back into it. So, I'm sitting here at a shell prompt. And that's my prompt there, igeet. So I'll go ahead and type Emacs to start the text editor.
Colon, F1 scratch fundamental L1 all, loading disk table, downloading, TFT, loading TFT, done for information about the new project and its goals, type CHCP, for information about the new project and its goals, type CHCP, file edit options buffers tools.
Now that's the introductory screen that you get every time you load Emacs. That's basically, the welcome screen. And it said for more information on the new project and its goals, type CHCP. Now, in the Emacs documentation, CX refers to Control X, and CP would refer to Control P. So in other words, the letter C, in this case, would mean control. And there are also functions that use the Alt key, or as they like to refer to it, the menu key. Because I suppose that the older PC boxes basically used the name menu key instead of Alt key, so I'll hit enter here to open the what's known as the Lisp evaluation buffer. This is where you can type in some code and run it and see how it works. I haven't played with this yet. I'm more of a C type of person, actually. And I'm currently working with C, and I'm also working with Simple. And you may recall that about a month ago, Jacques Provo did a review of his home automation system, and he did a review of his home automation system, and I'm currently investigating the language that currently the language that runs his control system and the language happens to be Simple, which stands for Simple Intensive Master Programming Language. And the language is very similar to C, actually. And if there is enough interest in this current presentation, I may very well do a review on it in the future as I learn more about it. So, speaking of TNT and Emacs, apparently, I didn't hit enter or any other key for that matter, any other keystroke sequence, and apparently I got brought into the Lisp evaluation buffer, so I'll go ahead and kill this buffer as having it open does consume a little bit of RAM here, and I like to save as much RAM as I can, so the various activities that I do on the system here won't be slowed down by the various processes I have running. So I'll go ahead and do a Control X, and you may have heard it say CX, and as I mentioned earlier, the CX refers to Control X in the Emacs manual or relative documentation. So CXK is the sequence I'm currently executing right now.
Help you mix loading disk table. Downloading TFT. Done for information about the new project and its goals. Type CHCP F1 messages.
And we're back at the, for new information about the new project and its goals, type CHCP. And that was the introductory screen. So, I will go ahead and read to you the TNT help file, which you can refer to later at any time by doing CXT question mark. So I'll go ahead and do that right now, and the output of that is going to be the contents of the TNT help file. So I'll go ahead and do that now.
TNT edit buddy CXTB invokes the buddy. List header TNT accepts CXT accepts the message or a chain invitation. TNT rejects CXTR rejects the message or a chain invitation. TNT next event CXTN shows next event in notification ring. TNT grab event CXTP shows previous event in notification ring. TNT switch user. CXTS switches between usernames for next login. TNT away tackles CXT tackles away status. Sets away message TNT pounce at CXT. P adds the user to your pounce list. TNT pounce delete CXTD removes the user from your pounce list. TNT tackle email CX. TM tackles forwarding incoming ins to email. TNT help fundamental. L23 bot.
And it basically, at the bottom of that file, said TNT help fundamental. And yes, you may have guessed it, the TNT help file is open in its own buffer here. And in Linux, I should probably point this out, in Linux in general, commands are case sensitive. So in other words, if you do CXT, lowercase a to accept a message, CXT capital A will be a completely different command, which is to, CXT capital A is to send, set up an away message, and CXT lowercase a is to accept an incoming message. And two features that TNT has and the regular Windows client does not have are the pounce feature, which I haven't had reason to use it, so I never have used it. I suppose that when you add a user to your pounce list, basically what will happen is any message that comes from that particular screen name, you will not be notified about it. And that's just my speculation right there. To me, it would make the most sense if this would occur. However, I don't know the exact behavior of the program in that respect. And another feature is the forwarding of incoming IMs to email. And I believe for this feature to work properly, you have to set a few environment variables. And I forget exactly what those variables are, however, they are listed, I'm pretty sure, in the README file that comes in the TNT tarball or tar.gz archive. So I will go ahead here and kill this buffer that contains the help file with CXK. Kill buffer default TNT mini buff help. And yes, that's the buffer I want to kill, so I'll just press enter here. Loading disk table, downloading TNT, We're back at the welcome screen here. So now I'll go ahead and sign on to my screen name here, which is Quick2040, that's Quick2040. If anybody who has listened to the presentation wants to contact me regarding it, I'll also give my email address at the end of this presentation. And so now I'll go ahead and sign on here with CXTO. Screen name. I'll just enter it here. Password for Quick 2040. Enter my password here. Attempting to sign on, signed on. Alright, we're signed on here. Now, one thing I should point out is, at least for me, I'm not sure about any other person who's going to be, who tries this on their network configuration. However, at certain times of the day, it can take a while for TNT to establish a connection with the talk.oscar.aol.com server. And I'm pretty sure this is because of network congestion. I haven't been able to, I shouldn't say I haven't. I haven't gotten around to basically getting a packet dump of the incoming and outgoing packets from talk.oscar.aol.com to me, and from me back to the server, so I could determine a cause for the wait time. However, yes, the wait time does exist, and it can be, at least for me, the wait time is approximately a minute and a half to 2 minutes. So I'll just leave it sitting there trying to sign on, and I'll usually go do other things such as get on the ChatNet network on IRC, or getting email, etc. So here we're currently signed on successfully. And one thing I forgot to mention when I was talking about features that were present and not present in TNT was that TNT does not have any type of file transfer capability, unlike the Windows client, which yes, you can transfer files between you and the person you're talking to. In other words, establish a peer-to-peer connection between them. And I believe that it's the latest version, you can also share your files across the connection. And unfortunately, this subset, if you will, or section of the Oscar protocol has not been adequately documented. So I haven't been able to find documentation for this functionality in the protocol. And the documentation that is available was created based on packet dumps of the previous protocol, which at that time, I believe the year was 97, 96, maybe even 95, the file transfer / file sharing functionality was not yet implemented. So the only thing you had in that case was the, yes, you could send IMs, receive them. And yes, in TNT you can also have chat room conversations. For that, it works even better than the Windows client. And yeah, so unfortunately the documentation that is available, it is not up to date. And I could attempt to reverse engineer the protocol at this stage, but I have a lot of time constraints these days, and I don't have exactly the time to do it right now to figure out the various parts of the protocol. And you also have to keep in mind in that case the if there were any changes in the way the various communication channels operate. So a change in the packet data would mean that the documentation that's currently available is basically useless. And the document is quite lengthy, actually. You can find it on Google, and that's where I happen to find it. So, yeah, enough of me rambling on this subject here. So, now I'm currently on my buddy list. Let's see who's online here. And another thing that TNT will tell you that the Windows client won't readily tell you is that a certain person or person XYZ has been away X amount of hours/minutes. And as I was reviewing my list here, I saw that two or three people were actually either away or idle. So I'm not going to bother messaging them in that case because I know I'm not going to get a response. So let me check my status line here because I believe I just got a... Sure enough, I got an IM from somebody here. One of the people on my buddy list. And what TNT will basically do is, if you're in another buffer besides the one, if you're in another buffer besides an IM buffer, for example, if you're back in the buddy list and you have two or three IM conversations going at one time, you'll basically get warned about an incoming message with a beep through the PC speaker, or backslash A character. That's the S. At least in C, that's the escape sequence for the beep through the PC speaker, otherwise known as the bell character. And you can accept the incoming message with CXTA, not capital A, lowercase a. I'll go ahead and do that now. Conversation with person, and it will also tell you the date. And let's see what they have sent me here. And yes, okay, they're talking about their job here. Now I'm going to just... Now one thing you don't have to do in TNT and in Linux in general for that matter is tab to various edit boxes and tab through buttons and stuff. You can just start typing and the characters that you type will be taken as standard input as explained in Linux terms. Now, in Windows terms, you'd basically be typing into you'll just be typing into the edit box, as you'd call it. Now, I'll just type a response here. And I just type my message here and send it. I'll just hit enter. And what just got printed to my standard output here was Quick 2040 and then my message to the person. I'm just waiting for her to respond here. And there we go. Now, another thing that TNT does with the messages, I'm not sure exactly where these control characters are coming from, but it will actually send a less slash B greater than sign after every message. So it basically acts as a terminating sequence of characters, if you will, of that I am. Now, this control sequence is filtered out in the Windows client. I'm not sure exactly what that sequence refers to, if it's if only native AOL users use this control sequence, or if AIM users, in other words, people who use AIM and have other ISPs, if they also use the --B control character or control sequence, it can get rather annoying. At least for me, it does get annoying after a while to have to listen to --B XXXX --B greater. Now, for me, it can get quite annoying. And another thing that, or I should say one thing I don't particularly like about TNT is its buddy list editor. You may have heard CXTB invokes the buddy list editor. That's CXT capital B, because lowercase b will invoke the buddy list, or it will basically display the contents of the buddy list in a buffer called buddies. And the way the editor works is it opens your entire list, both the list of people who are online and offline, in a separate buffer than that of your online buddy list. And TNT does support the online database, by the way, so it will download the latest version of that database to your local /root/.tnt/ in my case, quick2040/buddies, I believe it's called. And the dot is just there because it's a hidden directory. So the way this editor works is, I haven't even figured out exactly how it works. And the problem is the editor is not very consistent. So if I were to put, shut that up there, because, so yeah, the editor is not very consistent. So if I were to type, let's say, a new screen name, main menu 55 into the editor, and naturally skipping a line between the first and second current screen names to put in main menu 55, and then do CXCS to write the new buffer to a file, it will not be displayed properly in the online buddy list. The only thing that will really happen is you'll get an extra name on your buddy list, that is your online buddy list, regardless of whether the person is online or offline. So in this case, I'm looking through my online buddy list, and main menu 55 is listed there regardless of whether he or she is online or offline. Now, I have played around with this quite a bit, actually, and have figured out that there is spacing involved. In other words, the online database, if you will, the server software will basically check to make sure that the names are spaced properly. And I have attempted to emulate this manually, and it is very time consuming to do so. And yes, I have tried to emulate it manually, however, it doesn't always work. So sometimes what I end up doing is using the Windows client just to add new names to my buddy list. I think it's pretty stupid considering that TNT is an AIM client, and it should, I think the editor and its functionality and the way it writes the list to the online database has to be looked at. I might look at it in the future if I decide I want to get familiar with Lisp at some point, so I can write applications I can use inside Emacs buffers. I haven't done that as of yet. I haven't started reading the Lisp documentation because I'm working in C right now, and I just don't have the time to do it at this point. So I'm currently looking through my messages that I didn't reply to, and just like in the Windows client, you can cycle through the various messages. Yeah, so you can cycle through the various messages. It's even easier to do that in TNT than in the Windows client. I'll respond to this message here. And I just sent my message here. And I just stated that I'm doing a presentation for a review, rather, for TNT, and I'm recording it for main menu. So let's see what response I get here. And evidently it's taking a while, so let me just talk a little bit more about the chat room functionality. Yes, if you do get an incoming chat request, you'll get beeped at, so to speak, and you'll get warned by a message on the status line or the bottom of the screen saying, chat invitation from XXXXX, CXTA to accept. And you can just do CXTA at that point, and you'll be right in the chat room. And there's our response. And once you're in the chat room, you can look at the list of participants. They will be, I'm pretty sure, near the top of the screen. And at the bottom of the screen is generally, at least this pertains to Emacs, at the bottom of the screen generally is the buffer information, such as the name of the buffer that you're currently in, and in the case of TNT, you'll, it will say whether the the person is online and the current person you're talking to. So just as a demonstration, I'll read my status line here.
Blank. Oops. 1 colon, F1 M squeakers 120,285 quick 2040 M fill, L21 all.
So in this case, it just said I was talking to, yes, the person I'm currently talking to, it just said the screen name of that person on the status line. And another feature that you can use in TNT is tab completion. Now, if any of you other Linux users out there reviewed the archive and listened to Matt Campbell's various presentations, you may remember that if you're changing into a directory, for example, /usr/src/l, and you want to save time and just have it complete the word Linux for you, it will complete that after you hit tab, and it will complete it with INUX. So your command line in total will be /cd /usr/src/linux. And you can also use this feature in TNT as well. So let's say you have a person with a really long screen name and you don't want to type it. You don't want to type the whole thing. And you just want to send that message to them quickly. You can just type the first two or three letters of their screen name. And in that case, after you've done that, you can just hit tab. Now, if it doesn't find a match for whatever reason, and you hit tab, you'll get a beep in that case, and that will signify that there was no match. And I can demonstrate that here briefly. I'll do CXTI. I'll type main. And I hit tab. I got a beep. And I heard DeckTalk say no match. That's because there's no match for... I was trying to put in main menu 55, but I want to save time, so just type main. So I'll just hit enter here. And it says conversation with main on Friday, September 13th. And I'll have to kill this buffer because, no, there is no such person called main. And if you did type a message to that person, and you hit enter to send that message, you would get a beep, and you would get an error on the status line saying something like no such user or user is offline, something like that. And another thing that can also occur is if you have more than one person that has the same two or three letters. Let's say you have three screen names that start with QUE. If you type QUE and hit tab, you'll get a beep, and one of the three now that I think about it, I'm pretty sure you'll get one of the three screen names that start with QUE. I'm just going to briefly try it here. QUE. In my case, I got no match because I don't have any people with QUE. But yeah, in general, you'll get a beep out of the PC speaker, and yeah, get a beep out of the PC speaker, and then one of, in our case, the possible three screen names that could be related to QUE. So, in that case, if you wanted to send a message to the first person whose three letters of the screen name are QUE, you'd have to enter more letters to refine the search. Another thing, or another feature that is present, is the notification ring. Now, let's say I'm away, and I set up my away message, which often enough I forget to do, and people get annoyed at me for that, and yes, it's perfectly understandable. I don't do that anymore. I used to do that back in the day. And now I'd usually set up an away message, gone somewhere, be back later. And once I get back, I want to find out who exactly has sent me messages. So I'll use the key sequence CXTN and CXTP to cycle through the notification ring. And one thing that TNT will not do is, let's say main menu 55 was going to have a conversation with you, and main menu 55 sent me a message, and automatically they got my away message, went somewhere, be back later, and main menu 55 sent about two or three more messages, I will not get the five or so messages in the notification ring from main menu 55. So, in other words, main menu 55 will only appear once in the notification ring. So, basically, whatever is noted in the log there is the contents, or yeah, the entire contents of that buffer. So you could basically go into each buffer and review how many messages you got from that person. So that basically concludes this review. I hope you found it enjoyable. And information where you can download TNT, you can download it from http://www.gnu.org. That's the website of the Free Software Foundation. And what you can do once there is search for the keyword Emacs, and then you will find various search results on the next page. After you submit the form, and these results will include the Emacs manual, links to download the latest version of new Emacs, which last time I checked was 21.1, so the program is very mature in development, and also included there will be links to a list, or possible lists of different, as they refer to it, Emacs applications, or applications that were written in Lisp specifically for Emacs. And you can find a list there, I believe. Yes, TNT is listed there. As well as the literally hundreds of other programs there, such as there's actually a mail reader that I never played around with, but it exists, called VM. And there are people on the SpeakUp list who do use it. And there's also a directory listing / sort program called DIRED. That's D-I-R-E-D. And yes, so there are a lot of different things you can do with Emacs besides text editing. Now, if there's enough interest in this presentation, perhaps I can do another review of Emacs in general. In other words, of how to save files that you write, creating new files, opening them, etc. So if you want to contact me, my email address is IGUETHS@ATTBI.com. And in the subject, in the subject line, if you could include main menu or main menu presentation, just so I know exactly what the message is about, because unfortunately, I do get some spam on this email address, although I try to, crack down on it, and oftentimes it works, oftentimes it doesn't. So, just remember to include the subject line of main menu presentation or main menu review, whatever you want, just so I know what it is. And I try to reply to every single message. However, I do get a high volume of email traffic. I do tend to stay on top of it. So again, I hope you enjoyed the review, and I hope to be on again sometime.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
It's time for us to log off for another week. On behalf of all of the Main Menu team, I'm Jonathan Mosen, inviting you to join us again for another Main Menu.